The first thing I remember is that facts matter. The truth matters. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. Big thanks to our last guest, Jennifer Sullivan from the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities, for being with us this Friday afternoon. We're going to get to Ask Maggie in just one second. But I wanted to get, we had a couple of callers, Kathy from Cambridge and Dale from Wausau. I want to take them in just a second. Dale, hang on there. Kathy, if you're still listening, I do want to get your call in if we can. I wanted to just finish right before the top of the hour. I had played some sound from a farmer who was asked a question about Trump's promised bailout of farmers. And listen, the economic analysis is pretty simple here. The tariffs are basically robbing from farmers. It makes all of their operating costs much more expensive. It is also hurting their business because they can't export their products. So literally, Donald Trump is sticking his hand into family farmers' pockets and robbing them. And he's going to make up for it by what? A bailout? And just so you know, what's happened in the last half an hour, more or less, is that Donald Trump waited for the stock market to close and then announced a 100% tariff on China over and above any tariff that they are currently paying. Wow. So the markets are completely freaking out. Even before that announcement, just off of his indication that he might do more tariffs, the NASDAQ was down 3.6%, the Dow Industrials down about 2.8%. This is not good. And again, all of that before he said he's going to put another 100% tariff on top of the already like 30%+ tariffs. This is going to kill farmers. So I wanted to play the sound of a farmer addressing the fact that literally Donald Trump is robbing them blind and then saying, that's fine because I'm going to give you a bailout. Take a listen to this farmer addressing that point.
I have to ask, where do you stand on the White House's idea of helping farmers with tariff money that is being collected?
That's the most ridiculous thing. Let me explain to you.
Okay.
Your listeners, excuse me. Those tariffs I'm paying on inputs just this spring, and all of our parts, many of our parts come from other countries. All right. Just this spring, I go to my local John Deere dealer. I need a chain for my corn planter. I take it out of the box, John Deere box, dealt with these people for 40 years, John Deere part number, turn it over. It says made from China. Okay, I'm thinking, wow, that's odd. I just paid a tariff on that doggone thing. So here's the deal. I'm paying that tariff because my importer, John Deere, paid it. They paid it directly to the Treasury. Now the President of the United States is going to take my money and give it back to me and call it a bailout? That's just comical. And I tell you what, this administration has got agriculture, has got farmers exactly where they want them. And that is in need of what only Trump can deliver, and that's a bailout. What a terrible place for agriculture to be. Farmers are independent. They are independent businessmen and women, and they want to live off the land. They're creating income off the land for their communities, and President Trump has them right where he wants them.
In a place of need, absolutely ridiculous. Benga Ajilore, chief economist at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, described it this way. It's like robbing Peter to pay Peter. Terrible. And I wanted to make this point additionally. This has not been reported in any mainstream press that I have been able to find. The Labor Department, in a federal filing uncovered by the American Prospect, has said that we are about to face a food system emergency due to the mass deportation program. Again, this was in a federal filing uncovered by the American Prospect. The Trump Labor Department wrote this. There is, quote, significant risk of supply shock-induced food shortages. The department does not believe American workers currently unemployed or marginally employed will make themselves readily available in sufficient numbers to replace large number of aliens. Oh, great. So, yeah, that inflation and maybe food shortages, I'm sure that'll bring grocery prices down. Dale from Wausau, thanks for your patience, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Maggie. One thing I wanted to ask is, Mike Johnson is refusing to confirm a newly elected House of Representatives woman. I believe it's from Arizona. And I'm wondering what can be done to force him to confirm her.
It's a great question, and the answer is nothing. To be clear, and we played sound of this earlier in the week, Mike Johnson confirmed Republican newly elected congresspeople during a pro forma session. A Democratic representative moved to have that done in the House's last pro forma session. He refused to do so, and Mike Johnson continues to keep the House out of a full session while there is a shutdown. Make any of this make sense? I certainly cannot. Very briefly, Cam, because we want to get to Ask Maggie, what you got for us, Cam from Appleton?
Hey, thanks. I'm just so tired of people blaming everyone but themselves when it comes to politics. The thing that you just read right there didn't even take blame on the government's behalf. It took blame and said, you know who has it? It's the U.S. People that are not going to work quick enough.
Yeah. Yeah, the rooster is coming home to roost. And again, you're seeing this in federal filings that the administration admits in some places and in courtrooms about what's actually going on, but then they get on national news programs and lie about it. Folks, we're going to put a pin in this. Do not worry. We'll be back next week. We'll continue the shutdown lookout and updates for everyone, but we do want to get a little bit of lightness in here on Friday afternoon to send you all into the weekend. Thank you, Kathy from Cambridge. We didn't get to your call. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, of course, Dale from Wausau. And just as a postscript, folks, I did send our good friend CJ some of my sources for the information that I've been providing, asked him to provide a link to whatever he was referring to. We have yet to get that. We also tried to diligence CJ's claim that there was a court that concluded that Joe Biden violated immigration laws. We've been able to find none during the pendency of our program. I'll continue to look for that. But Jamie, man, I'll take a fact check from a listener. I'll look at anything, right? Full and complete information. That's what we're trying to do here.
We're always transparent here. And who's surprised that we haven't heard back?
Crickets.
Very quiet on a Friday.
But folks, those smooth dulcet tones, that is Jamie Martinson, my senior producer here. She helps cobble together your questions for me. Remember, you can send those in all week to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. And you can always shoot them in via the text line at 855-752-4842. We got a bit of an abbreviated version this Friday.
We do,
Jamie.
We do. And that's great, because I want to start out with a comment, actually, that we got from Lynn in Milwaukee. And Lynn is actually listening on our brand new WAUK 100.3. So thank you for that, Lynn. We're very excited about
Tell
that new signal.
Tell all your friends. We've now got the powerful FM 100.3 all across southeastern Wisconsin.
So excited to have that added to the Civic lineup. But she says this. She was listening to what she says was our last guest, Jennifer Sullivan, from the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. And Lynn says, I'm really concerned about the ACA price increase. Both my parents and grown adult children, young adult children, I should add, use the ACA. I just don't know how anyone is going to survive this. Sorry, she says, this isn't really a question. It's just a worried observation. And, you know, I'll be honest, going through a process with my mom herself, who is on Medicare, we're already starting to see some of the ramifications of what's going to happen. Medicine that she needs to keep her heart healthy. She has congestive heart failure. We're now looking at potentially $1,600 a month when those were basically just a small copay before. And, you know, I also have a young adult son, graduated from college, still trying to make his way and figure out a job. Because if you haven't noticed, there's not a lot of those to be had. So it's very hard for college graduates and really anybody who's job hunting right now. He's also using the ACA. And this is a conversation that we just had over the weekend, because right now that is his main source of insurance. And we're trying to navigate that. So Lynn, thank you for the comment. I think a lot of us are kind of in the same boat and hoping somebody does the right thing. I don't know if that's possible, though, at this stage of the game. Your take, Maggie?
Yeah, I've been having a lot of these conversations with folks. I had one last night. People know what I do for a living, that I care about this stuff. And I'll talk to anybody anywhere from any political persuasion about this. And I had a friend of mine, her name's Danielle. I was catching a beer watching that disappointing Cubs Brewers game. And Danielle was asking me about the ACA tax credits. And she said, Maggie, I've heard people say that the big brutal bill is cutting Medicare and Medicaid. And I'm 68 years old. Do I need to, like, what's, I rely on Medicare. What's going to happen to me? Mm-hmm. And all I could say was, I think you'll probably be okay because you're at that older tier, but I have no idea. I have no idea what's going to happen. We know that people are going to be pushed off of Medicaid and Medicare. We know that there's going to be basically more paperwork requirements. And we know that Donald Trump and the MAGAs in Washington, D.C. were very cagey in how they did the big brutal bill. It's not, those impacts aren't all going to come online January 1st. These ACA tax credits, that's the most immediate thing that's happening, right? In addition to thousands of tons of food rotting in warehouses because Donald Trump cut the portion of chips that allowed local farmers to sell their food to food pantries to help people get fed. Setting that aside, what they did with the Medicare and Medicaid cuts is that most of those aren't going to start to have any impact until we start trickling to 2026, 2030, 2028, and beyond. So what they're doing is they're trying to distance themselves from the impacts, which begs a question. If you were so gosh darn proud of what you've got going on, wouldn't you have the impacts take that would happen immediately? You'd be like, hey, as of January 1st, 2026, this is what we're going to do. No. They want that spread out so that they can disclaim responsibility and blame Democrats for it. Just like Donald Trump has taken credit for the Biden infrastructure bill, the Biden CHIPS Act, different sorts of the CHIPS Act about building our nation's technology arm. So again, same old, same old.
If it has president in front of it, apparently it's just a free for all. Everybody's responsible for it, right? I mean, that's kind of what this administration feels like. And it's sad. Now, I know we're running out of time, and Terry Barr is going to be joining us in just a moment to hopefully uplift us on a Friday. So I do have to get to this one really quickly. This comes to us from Tony, who is in Pewaukee, and he says, our brewers need some good luck. Yes, they do. Any superstitious traditions to get them over the hump, Maggie? Anything that you can leave us with today?
I don't know if you got a pair of socks from the last time they chalked up the win this past Tuesday that you haven't washed. Maybe put those stanky socks on. Baseball is rife with those superstitions, folks. So I go with the stinky socks. Whoever you watch the Tuesday game with, watch the game tonight with those folks. And good luck to the Brewers. Thank you so much, Jamie, for this quicker version of Ask Maggie. We got Terry Barr coming up next with what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin to send you off on a positive note for your weekend. Stay tuned, folks. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.